Would you turn to Colossians chapter 3? Colossians 3 and verse 20. This is the word of God. And the word of God says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things. For this is well pleasing to the Lord. Now, here we come to the second group of relationship in a family unit. There are three groups to be exact. First, we looked at them already. That is the husband and wife. Now we come to the second group, which is children and parents. Then the third group is slaves and masters. And Paul's intention is for the life of Christ to flow through us and to permeate through all our relationships at home, whether wives, husbands, or today, children. Every member of every family exists for a much greater purpose than just to be happy. Every role of every member of every family is specifically designed by a good God to be a stroke that, when brushed in the canvas of the family, the glory of Christ would be beautifully manifested and revealed. And we looked at the role of the wife and how she is to be respectfully submissive to her husband, not so much to earn that respect back, you know, the reciprocation, not because he loves her. That is way too secondary. It's irrelevant in this. But it is so that she could show to the world how desirable it is to follow Jesus Christ. It is to show how willing we should be to accept Jesus' direction over our lives. And we also looked at the husbands and how they ought to be lovingly leading their wives, as they are unconditionally providing for their wife's need. As the husband is cherishing his wife, he's showing to the world how Jesus treats his people. That he's a caring Savior. That he is willing to sacrifice himself for his people in order to protect them and to guide them. You see, husbands, wives, can you see that every moment in your marriage is an opportunity for you to exalt Jesus Christ? Irrespective of how your partners respond, how he would respond, or his moral condition. Now, what about children? How should they live out their way of worshiping Jesus Christ in the family? What is their role in the family? Well, what we want to do is break down this verse before us and see what the Lord has in store. The points for today, 3 points. We're going to look at the people, of course, children and parents. Then we look at the precept. I had to choose the word precept because it starts with P, but it's actually the command. The command. And in number 3, the purpose. People, precept, purpose. That is the motive behind obeying that command. The people. Who are the people? Children. Children, listening to me? Out of all the sermons I've ever preached, this one is to you. So what I want you to do is, I want you to have big ears and very little mouths, and I want you to pay attention to what God and your parents want you to listen to this morning. So I'm going to try my best to be as slow as I can and not use hard words so that you can understand. Now, this does not mean, if you're a parent, is to switch off your brain and say, well, it's for my kids. No, parent. Let me tell you something. I want to be forthright. You are responsible in enforcing this word of God. So, if you didn't bring your kids at the front, their obedience is in your hands. I want you to make sure that you know whether they come to the front or not, you are responsible to ensure that this word of God is exercised in your home. So, parents, I ask you, make sure you switch on your comprehension and put the antenna up and be receptive to what the Word of God has to say to your children today. Okay, so we start now, verse 20. Keep your eyes on the first word. The first word is children. So who's being addressed here? Who are these creatures? All the boys and girls who are living under their parents' roof. Now, what's the age bracket? Well, it doesn't say here, obviously, but in the book of Ephesians, which is the corresponding book, and Paul is expecting, once again, that the two books are circulated in the same area to the same churches. And in this book, when he's addressing the same group, Paul says to the parents in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. So this group are these that are under the age who are still dependent on their parents to be nurtured, to be trained, for the parents to provide all that is necessary for their growth and development. So they can become fully grown, mature adults, independent. Now, is this you? Are you still in need for your parent to take care of you some way or another? Then you are in this group. And what does this scripture say that you have to be? You have to be, continuing on, obedient to your parents. So again, just to be clear, if you are outside of these conditions, this command does not apply to you. Yes, you have to honor your parents all the days of your life, 100%, but obedience to parents is not binding to a fully grown, mature adult. But I still live under my parents' roof. Well, of course, again, you've got to honor them, and there are house rules. Just like if I host someone adult in my house, there are house rules to follow. But the group addressed here are the children who are in a constant need for training, for discipline, for counseling, for admonition. It is to you, children, God giving you this command today. And what's the command again? Be obedient. Whom are you to be obedient to? Not the pastor. Not Sunday school teachers. To your parents. Very important to understand. You see, God designated that it is you, parent, that you would have the highest authority on earth over your children. No matter what the world say, it's not the school, it is not the government, and as that strong wave coming down from America and the rest of the world, it is not the medical clinic that has any authority over your children. It is you, parents. You have the final say over what happens to your children. You're responsible before God. As far as God is concerned, He recognizes no other authority over your own children but you. You're accountable. That's the people. First point. Simple? We'll move on to the second point, the precept, the command. What does the command say? Again, we're going to look into it in a deeper way. It says, be obedient. Now, for those of you who know your grammar, this is in present tense. What does this mean, present tense? Meaning, from the time your parent tells you to wake up, what do? You go back to sleep, right? You say, yes, Dad. You throw the blanket, you jump out of bed, and then you continue to obey until you put your head back on the pillow. And then after you wake up from your sleep, guess what you do? The same thing. You repeat the same cycle every day, nonstop, until such time that your parent no longer takes care of you. Look what the scripture says in Proverbs 6:20-22. It says this: my son, observe the command of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them, listen to these words, continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you're awake, they will talk to you. What do? You obey your parents. How long for? All the time. Now, what does it mean to be obedient? What does it mean? Now, this word, to be obedient, is made up of two words, two literal Greek words. It is literally, if it would be translated word for word, it would be listen under. To listen under. So to listen. What does this mean, to listen? It's not just to hear sound. Yes, Mom, I heard you. No. It means when they speak, you have to let your brain bring out your imaginary pen and paper, and then you take note to everything that has been said to you. To actively pay attention and focus on what they tell you. But it's not just to listen, but to listen under. In other words, there is a sense of authority. You are under authority. Now, by the way, just a tip, what this means that you're under their authority is that when they command you, you know, they don't have to say, would you please do this or that? They don't need to say please to you. Why? Because they are your bosses. Your dad is your boss. Your mom is your boss. They don't necessarily have to say, would you please? But it is because you are to listen under. That means when you request something, you're the one who ought to say, would you please? Because you're recognizing that you're coming under their authority. And you're not just to listen in order to talk back or to argue. To listen under means when your parents tell you to do something, you can respectfully ask for the reason why you should do this, why you shouldn't do that, with respect. But to listen under, it means that you're not to pretend to be a lawyer that dies a thousand deaths to try to defend your case why you shouldn't do what you're told. You're under authority. This means you follow your parents' instructions. Even if you don't like it, even if it doesn't make sense to you. And when they teach you, you're willing to learn. And when they correct your mistakes, guess what? You accept their correction. And you know what? To be obedient, it is not just to obey, but be obedient. It speaks of your character. It's not just the external Right? You understand the difference between obey and be obedient? It is not just about the external, about what you do. It's about the internal. In fact, again, in Ephesians 6, not only does it say that you've got to obey your parents, but in verse 2 it says, honor your father and mother. What does it mean to honor father and mother? It means to treat them with utmost respect. It means that you are to kiss the hands that feed you and clothe you, to set a high price on them and what they have to say to you. You highly value their instructions as something that is precious to you. In fact, to dishonor your parents is such a shameful thing that in the Old Testament, let me read to you what it says. In Exodus 21:17, look what it says. Boys, are you paying attention? Some of you are not, and some of you are at the back chatting. Pay attention. He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And curse here basically is to belittle them. Shall be what? Kaput. Gone. Put to death. That's a way to depopulate Australia, is it not? From what we see and what we hear in the news. Do you know the consequences for disrespecting parents is so graphic in the scripture? That, let me read to you, Proverbs 30 verse 17, it says this, the eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out. What's a raven of the valley? It's the crow. Will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. What does that mean? If you look down on your parents, if you roll up your eyes, then the scripture says, these beautiful eyes of yours are worthy for the black crow to pluck it out, and in the eagles would fly, and they would look at your eyeballs as the crows are carrying them, and they would say, sweet, yummy for my tummy. Where's salt and pepper? I've got dinner now for me ready. So that you would no longer have eyes to look down on your parents ever again. What does it look like when you dishonor your parents? Belittling them. Making fun of them. Yell at them. Angry in your heart towards them while they're talking seriously to you. You laugh. That's dishonor. That's belittling. Or when you're told to do something, this body language, you sigh, you shrug your shoulders. You say while you're singing it, do I have to? Why can't he do it? All right? All these signs of dishonor. Now, you might say, well, I never dishonor my parents. Great. I wouldn't dare to do that. Fine. That's good. So what's the issue? Well, it's just that I don't really listen to them. I don't really obey them. But I don't disrespect them. Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 to 21, it says this. If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son, what's a stubborn and rebellious son? It tells you, who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, meaning discipline him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of the city. That's not the same as pastors, by the way. It's just in the Old Testament. The elders of the city at the gateway of his hometown, they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He's a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death. You shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear. Everyone will quickly pick up a stone, and everybody gets a stone in his hand. Some of them are sharp, some are not. And they begin to throw it at that child, at that person, at that son or daughter, until his body is disfigured, and then eventually he dies. That's how serious it was in the Old Testament. So internally, your heart honors your father and your mother, and externally, you obey them. Right? Great. In which area? What does the text say? Colossians. We haven't moved away from Colossians 3:20. In which area? Huh? In all things. It's like, parents are God representatives to you. They have all God-given authority over you. Obviously, with the exception, should go without a say, with the exception if they tell you to do something that is contrary to God's will, you don't obey, because you obey the highest authority in heaven and earth, and that is God himself. But other than this exception, what do? You obey them. Parents have complete and total authority over you. And parents, your children need to understand this. For me to help my kids to understand them, I tell them, listen, I own you, and I own everything that you have. And God owns me and owns everything that I have. And so God owns you, ultimately. Parents have the authority from God to tell you what to eat and what to drink, what chores you do and how often you do them, what sports you play, what to wear and what not to wear. All things. And if you have money, it is your parents. They have the authority to tell you how to spend your money, who to hang out with and who not to hang out with, when to wake up, when to go to sleep. And we're a little bit older, when to leave home and when to come back home. And you have to be obedient to them in all things. Well, this is the command. This is the precept. We looked at the people, the precept, now why do you have to do this? Why do you have to obey this command? Well, so that I wouldn't get smacked. So that I wouldn't get grounded. Well, that's good. That's good. You're not any wiser to disobey this command and then you get grounded for it. But that's not the purpose. This is not the motive why you ought to obey your parents. This is not what the scripture says here. Of course, we'll be talking about the parents. It's their obligation to ground their children, to punish their children when they ought to be punished, or to reward their children when they ought to be rewarded. But for you children, your purpose is far more greater than just getting punished. Look what it says. So that's the third point. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. It's well-pleasing. Well-pleasing here, meaning God will have this big, fat smile in his face when you are obedient to your parents. Do you know something? Do you know that God never made a mistake and gave you the wrong set of parents? You believe this? You believe that God will never say to any child, oops, I made a mistake, I sent this couple to the wrong mailing address. He'll never say that. So what you ought to do is you ought to stop fighting back and wrestle and say, you know what, it's just that they don't have any idea what they're talking about as license for you to disobey them. No. Believe that your parents are the perfect gift from God to you, and obey them so that heaven will be smiling at you. It's well pleasing to the Lord when you give your parents the honoring obedience that is due to them. And if God is well pleased, you know what? It really doesn't matter who else thinks, what everybody else thinks. It doesn't matter. You see, when you obey your parents, it's not so much so that you would please them. This is way too secondary. That's not what it says here. It's to please God. What does this mean? It means this. You know that God is good, right? You know that He never gave you the wrong set of parents. That these parents of yours, God gave them to you, that He gave them to you not to harm you, but to help you. And you know that God is all-powerful, which means He is able to restrain them if necessary. So what do you do? You want to show that you trust Him, and you trust Him that He is good. You trust that He knows everything. He knows what He's doing. How do you show that you trust Him? By pleasing Him. How? By obeying your parents. So every time you face a challenge, you don't really like what your parents are telling you to do, ask yourself this question. Who gave me this command to obey my parents? It is God. Then should I doubt Him and disobey, or should I trust Him and obey? How come? Again, because every time you're obeying, even when it's really hard, you know what you're showing? You're showing that you're trusting God. And aren't you pleasing to Him when you are trusting Him? Trust God. Even if you don't like what your dad is telling you to do, go ahead and do it. Why? Trust God. And in trusting God, you're pleasing Him. But that's not the only reason. You know what the second reason from the scripture why you ought to obey your parents? I'll tell you why. Because it's ultimately good for you. It's ultimately for your own good. Where do we get that from? Well, remember the Ephesians 6, what we spoke about, you know, in verse 2, honor your father and mother, meaning highly esteem them, value them, consider your parents as precious. You know what the rest of the verse says? The rest of the verse goes in like this, which is the first commandment with a promise. Now, what is the promise? So that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on earth. Live long is not just length of time, but it's the quality of life. So you would have good quality of life. Show me a child who honors his parents from his heart, and I will show you one who's walking that path of health and of prosperity. You understand this? Show me a child who honors his parents from his heart, and I will show you one who is walking in the path of health and prosperity. They love you. And all that they want to do is to help you. You know this. I mean, even Jesus confirmed this in Matthew 7:9. He says, "Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone?" In other words, no parent would ever intentionally bring harm to his son. Or if he asks for a fish, will he not give him a snake, will he? Obviously not. No matter how evil the parent may be. You know, there is that built-in, that strong desire in all parents and their instinct to protect their children from danger. So you do well to trust God and listen to their advice. Because that will never intentionally bring any harm to you. Let's look at it another way. How is it that when you honor them, that this will give you better quality of life? Why is this the case? We're looking at it another way. Let me explain to you something very important. Every child must hear and understand this. Do you realize that when you are born with a wicked heart? Now, what makes that heart of yours so wicked? Well, it's selfishness. No matter how nice you are, no matter how polite you think you may be, this heart of yours is filled with self-idolatry. It's self, you are so self-absorbed. Ah, well, I'm growing, I'm bigger now, I know more, I know better. Do you know what happens when you grow a little bit older and you become a teenager? Yes, you develop that sense of reason, you develop muscles, and even for teenagers, yes, there is that desire for sex, even become stronger. But you know what happens? You place all of this beneath that self-idolatry. And you use all that you have, and they all function to serve your selfishness. And so your eyes are blinded from seeing this reality because your mind is fixed in self. You know, even if you're a Christian, as a child, you lack experience. So what do? What do you need? You need set of eyes outside of you to protect you, to guide you. And God is saying to you, trust me. You do well with your soul when you trust me. How do I trust you, God? Entrust yourself to those set of eyes that love you more than life itself. Entrust yourself to those parents who would do anything in the world to protect you from harm's way. You know, those parents of yours, do you realize that nobody in the whole wide world would love you more than they do? Nobody would want the best for your health and prosperity than them. Ah, but they're too restrictive. They're overprotective. Yeah? Maybe. But better for them to be overprotective and too restrictive and you honor them than the alternative, than for you to be let loose and totally given to your self-idolatry. It's not going to do you any good. Right? You do well if you honor your parents. People, precept, and purpose. In all that we said, what does it have anything to do with Christ? I mean, didn't we say earlier that the family ought to reflect Christ and His glory? Or have we moved away from that now and we're talking to children and now we are preaching and teaching Christless morality? God forbid. Absolutely not. This is something very important for all children to understand. Do you know your role, what your role is, in other words, from what we said so far, in home, at home? You are to reflect Christ and how He honored and obeyed His Father. That's your goal as a child. That is your goal. God did not create you so that your goal in life is to have fun and have lots of toys and chit-chat and have mates. No, it's a good good thing to have fun and to chit-chat, but God placed you in this family for that one main and primary goal, just to reflect Jesus Christ and his obedience to his Father. So just like Jesus, the Son of God, he obeyed his Father, not just sometimes, but all the time. And he obeyed him even to the point of death, right? And not just any kind of death, but the most brutal and torturous kind of death on the cross. And he wasn't just crucified by man, but what did his Father do? He punished him. And you know what? In the story of Jesus Christ, the Father punished Jesus for sins he never committed, right? Yet in all of this, he never dishonored his Father, never cursed him, never disobeyed him, always obeyed him from the heart. And so you know what the Father says about his Son, Jesus? This is my beloved Son in whom I am, same thing, well pleased, well pleased. Oh, but I'm a child. I'm not even saved. Well, is it not more of a reason to cry out to God and say, God, how can I be like Jesus Christ unless you come in me and save me and change my heart? Child, you cannot use your disposition towards God, the fact that you're not saved, the fact that you're not a Christian, as a getaway card from obeying your parents. But it's all the more of a reason to come to Jesus Christ all the way and say, Jesus, forgive me. God, change me. Awaken my heart to know you, even at this young age. Save me now, so that I can follow Jesus' footsteps and be like him in the way I obey my parents. All right, we come to a point of application. Application. Parents, children. Parents, very simple. I've got one simple application for you. I don't know about you, but I'm going to get my kids to memorize this sermon. All right, talk to them about it. Turn it into a study. Teach them. This is God's calling upon your life. And I am here to ensure that you grow in this way. You are responsible to ensure your children, so long as they are under your roof and entrusted into your care, you need to ensure they are obedient to God's commands. Now, children, I'm just going to apply this as if not enough application already, but we're going to apply it in three different ways. I just want to say something to you. So say your parents order you to do something like cleaning up your room or something. What do you do? I'm going to sum up everything that we spoke about into three applications, 3 points. Make it simple. Number one, ensure that when you obey immediately. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today. Now. And just like the Lord expects immediate obedience, so you also ought to reflect it in your obedience to your parents, since your parents are God representative to you. Delayed obedience is disobedience. So you don't drag your feet into obedience. Your dad tells you to do something and then all of a sudden you turn into a slug. Right? My leg hurts. My My pinky finger hurts. I'm hungry. I want to go to the toilet or something. And you make all the excuses under the sun to delay your obedience. No. When you're told to do something, you do it straight away. From the first time. That's the first thing. Immediate obedience. Second, you've got to do your task until you get it completely done. Right? You know, when your mom tells you to do the dishwasher, and then she asks you, have you done it? Yeah, I've done it, mom. And then you look into the dishwasher, and what do you see? A couple of cutleries, a couple of dishes. You do it until you get it completely done. John 4:34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work, to finish, done and dusted his work. When the Father entrusted Jesus Christ to redeem sinners from hell, I want to ask you a question. How many sins left for those that put his trust in him, their trust in him? How many sins were left over for him that he didn't pay the price for? How much out of God's wrath that is left that Jesus did not bear upon himself? You see what I'm saying? Jesus obeyed his Father's will completely, totally. And he didn't stop until he got the job done. And children, what do you have to do? You've got to reflect Jesus Christ's obedience in the way you obey your parents. That's two, right? Complete obedience. Number three, you obey willingly. You obey willingly with a smile in your heart. You don't make it look like someone just stole your kidney when your mom tells you to do something. You know, as if, all right, mom, and then you walk as if you're someone who look at you and it's like you're walking in your funeral. You know, your room turns into Gethsemane and you go there and you're sweating drops of blood. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? You know, when you obey and your heart is not in it, that's not honoring to your parents, is it? And if you haven't honored from your heart your parents, you haven't really obeyed this command, have you? So when you obey, you don't delay obey obedience. You do it straight away from the first time. And second, you don't do it partially. You do it completely until you get the job done, the whole job done. And you don't obey while you're grumbling and complaining. No, you do it with a smile from your heart. Why is that? So that you become like Christ in all that you do. And when you walk in that path of Jesus Christ, the Lord will be pleased with you. Ah, but I can't do it again. He's not telling you to do something without being so generous to first give himself to you and then give you all the strength needed in order to obey. So if you can't do it, what do? You go to Jesus Christ. Jesus, I need you. I need you in my life. I need you to get rid of this selfishness in me. I need you to get over, to cut off this pride in me that makes me not want to submit and obey to my parents. I need you to help me to see how disgusting it is to rebel against mom and dad. I need you to expose this evil in me that makes me not want to obey my parents. And when you expose this evil in me, would you get rid of it? Would you cleanse it? Would you change me? Would you humble me? I can't do it on my own, Lord. I need you. go to him. He is real. He is far more real than even that chairs that you're sitting on. Go to him. Cry out to him. And when he does change you, walk behind him step by step. And whether your parents will be pleased or not pleased, you walk behind him. And all that matters is that God would be pleased with you. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, how we pray, Lord, I pray on behalf of all these children that we have in this room. Would you lead them to repentance, Lord? Forgive us because we disobeyed your command, this command, and we disobey it every day. For none of us could actually say with all honesty, I obeyed mom and dad from my heart every day, all day. We repent, Lord. We seek after our own selfish desires far above obeying your command. We made life to be more about fun, about our own personal pleasure, far more than wanting you to be pleased. We're not functioning the way we're intended to function. Oh, how we need your Son Jesus to forgive us through his blood, because of his blood. Oh, how we need him to empower us and to lead us into this beautiful path of obedience until you bring us home. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.